It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market since 1923, and this week there are 51 locally grown items in the Hen House Market.
Did you go through and count each one, Jasper?
Well, I have my sources, Kimberly. But you have a source for your BOGOs, and you're all about the BOGO.
I'm telling you. Well, of course, it's 117th and Row Hen House, their year anniversary.
Wow.
So they've got lots of BOGOs for me. I'm just going to run them down here. Talente Gelato, BOGO.
My favorite, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Selected varieties, BOGO. Blueberries, BOGO. Dole chopped salad kits. Grape tomatoes are BOGO.
Hey, I just found out the salmon, Atlantic salmon, is BOGO this week.
And cauliflower, head or bunch, and broccoli, BOGO.
Oh my gosh. And of course, moon cherries, that's right. If you're going to celebrate, that's right. It's all about the eclipse, and on Monday, if you're celebrating, it's the moon cherries, the celestial event of the year, with cherries that are grown only 1 mile from the moon.
I'm sorry, how far from the moon?
That's the best outtake.
That's right. If you're celebrating this weekend, of course, Monday is the celestial event of the century, and they have moon cherries. That's right. The finest cherries are grown 1 mile closer to the moon than any other cherry in the world. That's a celebration, Kimberly.
I agree.
It's moon cherries at Hen House Market. And don't forget, right now, the Hatch Chili Festival is going on at your local Hen House Market. There are four of them: 87th Street in Lenexa, 135th Street in Overland Park, Kansas, Prairie Village, and Fairway location. Roasted Hatch Chilies. All those BOGO specials, the Hatch Chili Festival, and the one-year anniversary of the new store here at the Hen House Market. Kimberly, I'm living large.
We are living large, Jasper. And speaking of living large, we are going to take a trip around the world today.
Whoa. I have my passport.
All right. We are going to interview Jyoti Mukherjee, who, of course, is a very well-known and beloved Indian chef here in Kansas City, who owns From Jyoti's Kitchen, and she now has a huge YouTube presence, too. So we're going to be talking
Mark's
to her about
back
that.
In the studio. I'm sure he's preparing some music for us.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Something special? We also have Deepa Thomas, who has written Deepa's Secrets. It's lower-carb Indian food, and a gorgeous book and very interesting story. We have Chef Ping Coombs from Bath, England, who was the Master Chef champion in 2014. She has written a book called Malaysia, Recipes from a Family Kitchen.
Beautiful.
And finally, we're going to be talking to Jordan Bork, a chef that was, I believe, born in Ireland. He lives in London now, and he has written a cookbook called Our Korean Kitchen.
Well, that's something else. Well, Kimberly, it's a busy weekend. Tonight, of course, people will be watching the Kansas City Chiefs play the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's right.
So it's, you know, football season's knocking on that door, lady.
Along with fall. Can you believe this year has just flown by?
Seriously. I had a great time at the Iowa State Fair. Thank you so much for all the recommendations.
I am so sad I couldn't join you guys, but I'm glad you got to the butter cow. And once you see the butter cow, it's time to go home.
No, exactly. That's a witch. When we finished it, lady.
It's time to go home.
That was the end of it. I'm telling you. It's a busy week around Kansas City, and we have so many different events coming up at the restaurant.
That's right. You've got a wine dinner, a big wine dinner.
The culinary wine dinner of the year. The icons, the Italian icons, are coming to Kansas City September 13th.
That's right. And how much are tickets?
So dinner is $100, including 7 courses and wine.
That's a no-brainer.
You can go online to jasperskc.com, or you can call 816-941-6600.
And seats are limited, and they're going fast.
Yes, they are. But Kimberly, I'm hungry. Let's get on this plane and take this journey.
Well, a lot of our listeners know her, Jasper, but I'm telling you, if they don't know her, they need to. We have Jyoti Mukherjee, who is the owner of Jyoti's Indian Kitchen. She does unbelievable Indian cooking classes from her home in Prairie Village. And Jyoti, how many people have you had come through your your classes?
Since I've been teaching the last 7 years, I've had almost 3,000 people through my kitchen.
And
oh my God.
Of course, the repeat customers. Because when you go to her class, you become family.
That is true. And you know, I have no Facebook page. I have no website. It's all word of mouth.
It is.
And I plan to keep it that way.
You do have a YouTube, though.
I do have a YouTube. And that's on the insistence of my children, our boys, who said that before you write a book, you've got to get on YouTube. So here I am doing those YouTube videos. And the book is in the works, but I have about 32 videos on YouTube, with 5 more coming in the next few weeks.
And the thing about going to your class is you're not only nourished, you're given the history, you're given a lot of personal family stories. You just connect the dots for this absolutely wonderful cuisine that I think is still misunderstood.
You know, it's amazing that in the last 10 years or so, I think the Indian cuisine has really caught up in the Midwest. And before that, I think it was, because everybody thinks that spicy means hot. But spicy is really not hot. It is the use of a lot of other spices that have several health benefits and are great for the body. And one of the big ones being turmeric. And we use turmeric in almost 90% of our curries and dishes that we make, and it is just loaded with health benefits.
And that's where I think there's a misunderstanding, because I hear from so many people, oh, that has a lot of curry in it or something, and they're not informed. I know walking away from your class 2 years ago, I was overwhelmed from what I learned. Just opening up your spice drawers under the cabinet and getting into your, I was like being nosy as can be.
You were.
But people don't understand. I mean, you said spice,
exactly.
It's exactly right. They say curry. No, it's not true.
You know, the general misconception is that if we add curry powder to anything, it makes it a curry. And that's really not true. Almost, you know, 80 to 85% of our curries have a combination of any of these 5 ingredients, which actually form the basis of all curries: onion, ginger, garlic, tomatoes, and or yogurt. And a lot of the vegetarians in India who are not supposed, because of their religious affiliation to a particular sect or whatever, are not allowed to eat onion and garlic. So they use a lot of ginger and tomatoes in their curries. And curry powder has got 3 basic ingredients: cumin powder, coriander powder, and turmeric. But when you go to buy curry powder here in the Indian markets or in the regular grocery stores, you'll find that there are 20 ingredients listed on the curry powder. Mm.
Wow.
And those 20 ingredients are really to impress you guys, because that is not what curry powder is. Curry powder is just these 3 basic things: turmeric, cumin powder, and coriander powder.
Amazing.
Well, let's back this up a few years. How did this all begin? And you were our guest before on the show, and I know you told, but I want our new listeners to really kind of understand you and learn a little bit more.
And what motivates you? Because you're motivated from deep in your soul.
Yes, I really am. And it takes me to another world. And, you know, I realized when I first started these classes 7 years ago that my passion to cook and my passion to teach when I was a little girl had both come together. And so even to this day, when I am teaching and when I'm doing a cooking class, I just get transported to another world, and it's just a beautiful feeling, and it's very gratifying to be able to share my culture with the local community, because I think we internally become rich by learning about other people and about other cultures and incorporating them into our own.
And you know, Jasper, I think that's one of the most important things about Jody's classes is it's not hands-on. Jody demonstrates, you get recipes, you get notes, but at the end of it, you break bread together, you eat together, and it is, or sometimes you eat during the class, depending on the class.
Right, depending if it's street food. You eat as we go along.
But
right.
It is so wonderful in the conversation, and it really, food breaks barriers.
Very true.
Yeah.
And to Jasper's question on how I started, it was just by fluke. I had no... I didn't have a dream or a calling that, you know, this is what I had to do. It was, I was volunteering, and then I was on the board at Head Start, and they asked me to when I joined the board, there was a golf tournament that used to take place as a fundraiser, and they decided to add a silent auction the year I joined the board. And that year, I decided to donate a dinner for eight. And I did it for 4 years. And then the board, one of the board members who used to run the auction, asked me if I would like to do a if I could do a cooking class. And I said, you know, I'd never done one in my life. And she said, there's always a first time. And that was October of 2009 when my first cooking class sold. I did my first class on February 10th, 2010. And there has been no looking back since.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
Now, our listeners are probably wanting to get a hold of you, and they're on their Facebook looking for you. They're not going to find you.
They won't find me. They can either call me or email me. If you email me, it's J Mukherjee, spelled J-M-U-K-H-A-R-J-I at gmail.com. Or they can call me at 913-488-4607.
Well, we're going to post some of these delicious photos, Kimberly.
Yes.
And we'll give your email address also so people can learn a little bit more about you and enjoy what we are enjoying in the studio right now, because Kimberly, Mark and I have already gone back for seconds.
Well, it's way over there, so as soon as Jyoti leaves.
And I know we have to go, but these beans, they're incredible.
The kidney beans.
Well, thank you. Yeah. These are red kidney beans, very typical of an Indian lunch. Sunday lunch.
Oh, and the chicken. I mean, the chicken is so delicious in the basmati rice, but I'm overwhelmed with all these flavors. It's just, we can't thank you enough for coming in. And I love this little container. What do you call that again?
Oh, it's...
Your little tower?
Yes. It's an insulated tiffin carrier.
A tiffin carrier. I'm thinking maybe I need to put like mostaccioli in the bottom of one and a little chicken in the middle and maybe like a tiramisu in one. I got to get me one of these.
I think so. Absolutely. Aww. Well, Jyoti, thank you so much for coming. And I look forward to seeing you in your kitchen again.
Thank you.
And the variety of classes you teach is phenomenal. And I swear, as many times as I've been to classes, I've never repeated one.
Really?
Yeah. And you're doing a new breakfast.
You know what? Next month I'm doing a breakfast, Indian breakfast class.
Oh.
And so, well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for your time. Always. Come on, please. This is Jasper Mirabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market since 1923. And this week, there are 51 locally grown items in the Hen House Market.
Did you go through and count each one, Jasper?
Well, I have my sources, Kimberly. And of course, moon cherries. That's right. It's all about the eclipse. And on Monday, if you're celebrating, the finest cherries are grown 1 mile closer to the moon than any other cherry in the world. That's a celebration, Kimberly.
I agree.
It's moon cherries at Hen House Market. And don't forget, right now, the Hatch Chili Festival is going on at your local Hen House Market. There are four of them: 87th Street in Lenexa, 135th Street in Overland Park, Kansas, Prairie Village, and Fairway location. Roasted Hatch Chilies. Kimberly, I'm holding in my hands a stunningly visual cookbook.
It is gorgeous. This is with Jasper.
I don't say modern, but new Indian cuisine. And we are very, very fortunate again that you, you've made the contact and you've brought the author on herself.
We have Deepa Thomas with us this morning, and I think it's interesting that upon learning that rice and bread were the culprits for her husband's type 2 diabetes, she went about deconstructing and reinventing her native cuisine.
Wow.
She slow-carbonized family recipes, used Western cooking techniques, and it goes on and on, and that's the result of Deepa's Secrets. Is that right, Deepa?
That is correct, and let me just thank you for having me on, giving me this chance to share with your listeners what I discovered quite by accident.
And you know, too, Jasper, before we get into the meat of this, so to speak, I think it's important to note that after 3 months of eating this way, Deepa lost 25 pounds, and your husband was freed from his 10-long routine of insulin shots.
Yeah, 10 years of two shots a day. But I have to tell you, the weight came off with 5 meals a day. But what was even more interesting, it was less than 5 days of rejigging what he was eating that this man who had taken 2 insulin shots a day, his blood sugar was normal. And we, if you've noticed, my last name is Thomas, as in Doubting Thomas. And so we marched ourselves to the pharmacy and got another monitor, convinced the monitor was broken. Blood sugar was still normal, And then you start to wonder, how can it be that diabetes is so rampant, 50% of the Indians in America, which is about 3 million people, adults, and one-third of the adult population of America is diabetic or obese or both. And why are we not being told the truth about food as healing, as a baseline education for children, adults alike? So that's the big question I ask myself.
But you did this in, he did in just 5 days?
5 days of, first of all, let me just say, switching around my husband's favorite Indian dishes, I didn't mess with the flavor. And if anything, I bumped up the flavor. I don't like suffering. So there was no question I was going to take out the refined carbohydrates because that was what was causing the blood sugar to spike. Mm. The answer is 5 days for a man who 10 years taking insulin.
Well, let me back this up a little bit. You studied journalism and political science in India. You moved to the United States and founded a very successful textile design business. What led you to develop a new take on Indian cuisine and write a cookbook?
Jasper, you've skipped over the essential fact. There's a common denominator for most of my life. The good things have been happy accidents, inclusive of meeting my husband. And by the way, I talk about how I married a man I knew for less than 2 hours. So that was an arranged marriage 44 years ago. And I might have been a little bit taller then, but
oh my
you
gosh.
Know, I talk about the journey of trying to make it work, create a life out of thin air. I think investigative journalism, if it teaches us anything, is how to ask a question. And then combined with my passion for art, which is the visual aspect of what I've done, whether it was the textile company I founded, that too a left turn, and both our kids were growing up, there was no time to focus on the details of nutrition. You know, we called it a win if we got food on the table.
Right.
But knowing that I had finally the time to look at how food is medicine, something that is so part of the Indian culture, the science, the plant-based science that is so ancient and originated in India is called Ayurveda, and it's the science of life based on plants. So if you roll the tape right back, you start to understand how the seeds and plants and the spices and herbs actually create health in the digestive tract.
So Deepa, getting back to your cookbook, Deepa's Secrets, I have to ask you, what is your secret?
There are many secrets. So Kimberly, I think the way I approach cooking in layers of flavor and made easier by a little prep, which I talk about what you can possibly keep in your pantry and your fridge to make it easy for you to cook healthy and delicious. Deepa's Secrets, the spice, Deepa's Secret Spice, is a mix. And I figured Americans, my sons included, us included, we don't want to stand in the kitchen endlessly like the kitchens of India that were staffed by a lot of help that used to exist in my mother's time. So I've created a shortcut. A pinch of this Deepa's Secret Spice will change, say, an omelet for the better, or 2 tablespoons of it will make your roast come alive with this amazing flavor. So it's my magic spice.
Oh, I like that a lot, Kimberly. I'm getting some great ideas here right now.
I am too. And I just saw Deepa's Secret on page 143 of the cookbook. Leave a wooden spoon in the pot to prevent Dal from bubbling over. So you give a lot of different tips throughout the books. It's not just a book to cook with. It's a book to learn and to really absorb.
And my friends, what's really important about this book, all of Deepa's royalties herself, the proceeds go to benefit Food Corps. That is really something that says a lot about Deepa.
That's as important as my cookbook. My publishers have agreed that all my royalty will go to Food Corps.
The book itself, just absolutely stunning. Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb, New Indian Cuisine. Make sure you check it out on Amazon or at your local bookstore, such as Rainy Day Books right here in Kansas City. Kimberly, I don't know about you, but I'm going into this cookbook right now.
Well, and I'm going to make a shopping list.
No kidding.
Go to my favorite Indian store here.
Deepa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure, and my best wishes to all your listeners.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market since 1923. And this week, there are 51 locally grown items in the Hen House Market.
Did you go through and count each one, Jasper?
Well, I have my sources, Kimberly. But you have a source for your BOGOs. And you're all about the BOGO.
I'm telling you. Well, of course, it's 117th and Row Hen House, their year anniversary.
Wow.
So they've got lots of BOGOs for me. I'm just going to run them down here. Talente Gelato, BOGO.
My favorite, really.
Yeah. Mm. Blueberries, BOGO, Dole Chopped Salad Kits.
Hey, I just found out the salmon, Atlantic salmon, is BOGO this week.
And cauliflower, head or bunch, and broccoli, BOGO.
Oh my gosh. And of course, moon cherries, that's right. It's all about the eclipse. And on Monday, if you're celebrating, the finest cherries are grown 1 mile closer to the moon than any other cherry in the world. That's a celebration, Kimberly.
I agree.
It's moon cherries at Hen House Market. And don't forget right now, the Hatch Chili Festival is going on at your local Hen House Market. Roasted Hatch Chilies. Steamed ground pork rice, cheap prawn noodle, grilled curry chicken salad, mom's chicken wings, banana spring rolls.
Okay. Jasper, are you going to recite the whole book?
Well, I can't get my hands off it. Are you looking at this
book,
Kimberly?
It's a gorgeous book. It's called Malaysia Recipes from a Family Kitchen. We are so lucky this morning to have the winner of MasterChef 2014, author Ping Coombs, who brings Malaysian cuisine into the spotlight from her family table to yours in this absolutely gorgeous cookbook. And she drew inspiration from her mother and from the late night stalls and street markets in her hometown, Jasper.
Wow. And of course, her pop-up, Chairman Ping. I love this. I'm going through the book right now. And Kimberly, it's Saturday morning. I have Malaysia on my mind, some of these dishes. Ping, you're a mom. Let's start off right there.
Yes, I am. And it's pretty busy at our household at the moment, because in 4 weeks' time, we're going to expect another one on the way.
How
so
beautiful.
It's all hands on deck here at the Coombs household.
Well, talk to us a bit about your background and what drew you to write specifically about Malaysian cuisine.
Well, you know, it's really funny because when I first started off, Malaysian cuisine was just something I grew up with. I didn't give it much thought at all. I just thought it's readily there. So you kind of, you know, take it for granted a bit. Not until that I moved to the UK to study. And the first couple of years, I was still experimenting with like all that you can have in the UK. You know, we have such a vast selection of foods. And then after a couple of years, I started to miss home. I started to miss the smell and aromas and things like that. So I started to experiment. Then when I returned to Malaysia, I actually, it gives me a sense of like a much greater appreciation for the food that I actually grow up with. And I think that resonates with a lot of people that have moved abroad as well. I've spoken to a lot of people who are, no matter where they're from, when they move away, they have a better appreciation of the food that they grow up with. And so that's how it started, how I experimented, and how it just grew from there, from my desperation into having the food that I grow up.
Well, as I'm looking through the recipes and I was doing my research with my wife, I know, first of all, right away, she picked out the Malaysian fish and chips. And of course, you're, as Kimberly said, across the pond. So I know that's maybe a little influence there. And then myself, pork macaroni, Miss Kimberly.
Mm.
Unbelievable. I have to ask you, what are some of your favorite recipes from the book? I mean, that's like saying, who's your favorite child? It's going to be difficult. They're all beautiful recipes.
I promise myself only to write the recipes that I love.
Oh.
So all the recipes on there is what I love to eat and what I will cook at home, entertaining friends or, you know, cooking for my family. So that's why it's something like recipes from a family kitchen. It's actually what actually kind of grew from there. And people say, how do you choose? There's so many Malaysian dishes. Well, the only way that I can choose is write something that I love to eat. And that's the easiest way I could actually put the book together, or else, you know, this book will be 4 or 5 times as long.
So what are the key ingredients of Malaysian cuisine?
So the key ingredients are we use a lot of fresh aromatics, so lemongrass, shrimp paste, dry shrimps, kaffir lime leaves, and chilies and ginger. So we also have a lot of other seasonings as well, such as oyster sauce, soya sauce, all that amalgamate together, just bring Malaysia cuisine, you know, together with the flavors. Because it's a multicultural country, it's so hard to actually pinpoint, you know, one kind of type of dishes. Because we have Malay, we have Chinese, we have Indians, we have all the ethnicity coming together. And Malaysian food is called like the original fusion food because we have just so many. And I remember telling people, like, if you go to Malaysia, if you have one dish a day, three meals a day, you won't be able to finish the selection that Malaysia has to offer.
Oh, my gosh, no doubt.
So tell us, because both Jasper and I have incredible sweet tooths, okay? And we've already gotten to the back of the book. What are some of your favorite Malaysian dessert recipes in the book?
So one of my favorites actually is the kuih ketayap, which is the pancakes that's rolled, the green pancakes. What's so fascinating about that is the green is absolutely natural. It's from a shrub pine leaf called pandan, which is, we call it vanilla of the East. It's got this grassy, beautiful flavor that we use to flavor and also color the food. So we blend it to extract the juice, and that's what goes into the batter that then makes a crepe. And then we then use a desiccated coconut that is actually soaked in palm sugar so that it's nice and juicy, and we wrap the pancake with this filling, and it's so delicious. And one thing that you can make, and then you can actually eat it in room temperature, you don't have to refrigerate it. Also, we do, I like a lot of predominant Malaysian flavors are coconut based, so I have used it to actually infuse it, and I make a coconut and pandan panna cotta. You will see a lot of coconut and pandan in my recipe is because that we use a lot of these two ingredients in Malaysian desserts.
Ping, I have to tell you, I love your accent because it's definitely East, but I mean, you hear the English kind of blended in there. It's very unique.
Yeah, much a bit like my food, really.
I love it. Well, I'm looking at the book, Kimberly. I'm sorry, but this is a dessert that I'm fixing tomorrow. Popo's Gold Blend ice cream, a coffee ice cream with a bean
Popo
paste.
Popo ice cream?
Oh, and Tea Maria and those warm deep fried buns. Uh-oh, this, we're in trouble.
You better invite me over for
no
Jasper.
Kidding.
Yeah, that's a kind of take on what my Popo is grandma. When I was growing up, my grandmother has incredibly sweet tooth, and she would make a porridge with condensed milk instead of milk. So it's really rich, and she would crack an egg yolk in it to make it extra creamy as well. One of her other breakfast items is she makes coffee with condensed milk, and then she crack an egg in it. It sounded horrible, but she cracked a half boiled egg in her coffee. It sounded weird, but it does go. But I thought, well, why don't I take that idea and make it into an ice cream? And when I was younger, there is this ice cream man that always come around our house, and he would serve ice cream in this soft bun. So I thought, I really love milk buns. Let's deep fry it to create that crunch. It's a little bit of like a take on what my memories are and try to modernize it a little bit so that's something that I like to eat.
Kimberly, I mean, there's a story for each recipe. This is beautiful. Why didn't you schedule like an hour and a half to talk to Ping while she's across the pond?
We're going to need to talk to you again, Ping, because we've got to wrap up. But I have one very quick.
No, I'm not done yet.
I know, Jasper.
Look at this book.
But I have one very quick question, Ping, because you live in the very picturesque town of Bath, which is about 2 hours outside London. How easy is it for you to get the ingredients to cook recipes out of the book there?
Well, when I first moved here about 12 years ago, it was pretty difficult. We can still get the ingredients from like London or Bristol. But, you know, we have a boom of Oriental supermarkets here because of the amount of students that are studying in Bath right now. I mean, in Bath alone, in the city centre, we have four different types of Oriental supermarkets, small supermarkets, where you can get all of these ingredients, cooking Malaysian food now, and any other Asian food is a dozen.
Nice.
Because we can get most of the ingredients even in Bath. So to recreate this, I wrote this book specifically to so that I can get all the ingredients here, or else there wouldn't be any point.
Well, my friends, it may be a little difficult to get across the pond and go to Bath, but you could pick up Ping Coombs' Malaysian cookbook, Malaysia, recipes from a family kitchen. You can go online and Amazon and kind of flip through it like I did also before I got the book and find out a little bit more about Ping. We're fortunate to talk to you and so gracious with these beautiful recipes. I cannot wait to try. Kimberly, we both have a cookbook. Let's have a little comparison, take some photos.
Let's have a Malaysian potluck.
I absolutely love it. Thank you, Ping.
Thank you so much for having me.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House Market is your local market since 1923. And this week, there are 51 locally grown items in the Hen House Market.
Did you go through and count each one, Jasper?
Well, I have my sources, Kimberly. But you have a source for your BOGOs, and you're all about the BOGO.
I'm telling you. Well, of course, it's 117th and Row Hen House, their year anniversary.
Wow.
So they've got lots of BOGOs for me. I'm just going to run them down here. Talente Gelato, BOGO.
My favorite, really?
Yeah. Mm. Blueberries, BOGO, Dole Chopped Salad Kits.
Hey, I just found out the salmon, Atlantic salmon, is BOGO this week.
And cauliflower, head or bunch, and broccoli, BOGO.
Oh, my gosh. And, of course, moon cherries. That's right. It's all about the eclipse. And on Monday, if you're celebrating, the finest cherries are grown 1 mile closer to the moon than any other cherry in the world. That's a celebration, Kimberly.
I agree.
It's moon cherries at Hen House Market. And don't forget, right now, the Hatch Chili Festival is going on at your local Hen House Market. Roasted Hatch Chilies. Kimberly, Korean food is quickly becoming the biggest trend in the culinary world. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
You know, I did know.
And I'm talking recipes like crispy chili rice cakes, chicken dumpling soup, seafood and silken tofu stew, pickled garlic. I mean, the list is endless. Shrimp and sweet potato tempura. Are you hungry yet?
I'm very hungry.
Well, our Korean kitchen will be your inspiring guide. And Kimberly, you have a big introduction ahead of you.
We are so lucky. We are catching up with Jordan Bork in London. He is based in London. He's from Ireland, based in London. He wrote this gorgeous cookbook, Our Korean Kitchen. We'll be coming to the States sometime in the next couple of months to do a book tour. But Jordan, good morning and welcome. And I think your background is so fascinating. So tell us how you came to be a food stylist, a chef, and an author, and passionate for Korean food.
I know, it's quite a confusing mix. Good morning to you both. And thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you.
I suppose a lot of people often say, how is this Irish guy living in London cooking Korean food? And essentially, it's through my wife, who is originally from Korea. So I was working as a chef in a Michelin star restaurant here in London called Peter's Nurseries. And it's classical kind of Italian style of food with a lot of Mediterranean ingredients mainly. And so when I met my now wife kind of 10 years ago, I was just so blown away by the Korean food that she was introducing me to, which at the time in London was not that popular, where it's become hugely popular now. And so I just really wanted to explore the cuisine in further detail. And I spent a lot of time out in Korea, in Seoul, and in various different parts of the country working with artisan producers and chefs there to learn the trade in the most traditional, authentic way possible. And then also, of course, learning from my wife and her parents and her family and friends in Korea. There's so much known about Chinese and Japanese food and indeed Southeast Asian food in the UK, but relatively little about Korean food. So eventually I decided, well, I had to change that. And together with my wife, we wrote the book, Our Korean Kitchen.
And if you think about it, I mean, seriously, unless you have someone who is close to you who has some Korean recipes or who grew up in Korea, which is it's kind of hard to find in Kansas City, then what you see in restaurants is really not that authentic. And, of course, you hear Korean ribs. I mean, that's about it in the Midwest.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think, I mean, a lot of the time when you're introducing people to Korean flavors, it's a good start in the sense that they're flavors that they might not have had tasted before. So, for example, the chili paste, the gochujang chili paste, which is a fermented soybean paste,
oh, wow,
a little bit like Japanese miso, but with chili powder in it. And then also you have the fermented flavors coming through with things like kimchi, the fermented cabbage, or indeed kimchi can be any fermented vegetable. And I think, yeah, a lot of the more fusion type of restaurants, while they aren't authentic or traditional Korean food, at least they introduce people to those primary flavors so that when they do have the opportunity to taste traditional Korean food in either Korea or in more traditional restaurants in bigger cities, then they have a little bit of a better idea of what to expect. But the flavors are incredible. It's a very punchy, fiery cuisine. But at the same time, they also have subtly flavored dishes as well. It's not all chili red hot. And yeah, there's kind of something for everyone. There's lots of vegetables. So people who are vegetarian or vegan, they can always adapt recipes to their own diets as well. And then, of course, there's the meat and fish as well, and lots of barbecue, which everyone loves.
Oh, there's
well,
no doubt.
And I don't know if you know this, Jordan, but Kansas City is considered, often considered, the barbecue capital of the United States, of the world,
Well, I'd love to go.
Yeah. And in fact, we, I don't know if you know Bodine's Barbecue in London, but we have
a
very strong connection with Andre there, and we'll tell you about that off air. But let's go to the cookbook. Jasper and I are leafing through it. It is absolutely gorgeous. Tell us your favorite recipe from the book, and then the easiest recipe from
the book. Yes, the easiest recipe. I need that one.
Well, actually, one of the recipes which is my favorite is possibly also the easiest. It's the sweet potato noodle dish called japchae. And this was the dish that was first cooked for me by my wife.
Wow.
It's made of cellophane noodles, like glass noodles, that are just cooked normally, boiled up, and then mixed with a combination of soy sauce, sesame seed oil, and then lots of vegetables and some beef that's also been marinated. It's very simple to cook, but the flavors are incredible. And using that really good quality roasted sesame seed oil that you can get from good quality Asian supermarkets or Asian stores is really worth it because it transforms the flavor of the dish. So that's probably one of my favorites and an easy one too. But another one that I'd say is worth trying, and it's probably one of the most famous dishes, is the bibimbap, which just literally means mixed rice. And it's a layer of short grain rice that's served in a hot stone bowl so it gets a lovely crispy base to it. And then on top, there's, again, a whole array of vegetables, marinated. Well, you could do beef as a traditional one, but it could be any kind of meat. It could be chicken, or indeed you can leave that out if you're vegetarian. And then the golden center in the middle is a beautiful egg, and then the whole thing gets mixed together with a gochujang chili paste sauce. And it is just delicious. I have yet to meet anyone who doesn't adore it. And it's an amazing introduction to Korean food if you've never had it before.
Well, my friend, I'm going right for the deep-fried honey cookies. I'll tell you that right now. It's dessert time for Jasper.
Yeah, they are great as well. It's funny because I don't think Korea is often associated with dessert. In fact, a lot of Asian countries aren't really. They're very health conscious, and they don't often, you know, they're not settling into cakes and donuts and things like that. However, they do have some really amazing sweet treats. And those cookies that you spoke about are one of them. Another one that's delicious is black sesame seed ice cream. Or another one that is really one of my absolute favorites. It's a pecan and cinnamon stuffed pancake. And in Korean, they're called hotbok. And it's a yeasted pancake. So imagine like kind of a pizza dough style yeasted dough. And then inside it's stuffed with roasted pecan nuts and cinnamon and some brown sugar. And they get fried just gently fried, shallow fried, so that the sugar melts on the inside and it serves as a bowl of ice cream. And I, honest to God, now there's, I can't imagine many desserts that could compete with it. It is phenomenally good.
Well, Jordan, I'm going to let you know right now, I just took over the interview because Kimberly just passed out. So just to let you know, we're trying to revive her right now on the floor. Get up, Kim. It's only dessert.
Yeah, I always start at the back of a cookbook.
I got to have that description again. You're going to save this, Mark Andrews, our producer, because that was one description of a dessert that I'm dying to have now. My friend, thank you for coming on Our Korean Kitchen by Jordan Burke. I'm telling you, Kimberly, this is something else.
It is, and congratulations to Jordan, you and your wife. The cookbook won very prestigious awards at Fortnum and Mason Award, I believe, and also the Observer Food Monthly Cookbook of the Year. So congratulations.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you very much. I know it was great.
You can buy it in Kansas City, of course, at Rainy Day Books, our favorite independent bookseller, and you can buy it on Amazon.
All right, Kimberly, I'm glad you made a little revival there.
There you go.
We're okay, Jordan. Thanks for coming on, and keep in touch with us. We'd love to talk to you again.
I will indeed. I'd love to come and try the barbecue in Kansas City. Thank you very much.
Definitely. Thank you.
All the very best.